What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the... This should be the 13th episode. Is it 13th episode? You know, I'm too lazy to check out on my website if this is the 13th episode. Welcome, everybody. My name is Corey Riggs. I am your holy host for the Bay Area Sports Talk Show with Corey Riggs. I mean, the title says with Corey Riggs, and yet... You know, I still have to do intro saying that it's Cody Reyes talking to you. We got a lot of stuff going on today for today's show, for week-wise, because week-wise, Tuesday, I don't know if anyone knows, but Tuesday was NFL official business day, whatever. Anyone can sign anywhere, whatever. It's official now. And, you know, we have a lot of stuff to go on with about the Raiders and about the Niners. Well, mostly about the Raiders, because, you know, I think this week the Raiders made more headlines than the Niners just by what they did. And also, too, we got a couple Warrior victories to talk about. Yeah, Warrior victories. I thought they were going to go 1-1 this week. They went 2-0. So, I mean, the team that went 1-1 was actually the San Jose Sharks, which I thought they would go 2-0. So, I mean, I am bad at predicting stuff. So, it started off with some talking about some free agent talk, some trades that have been going on or some cuts, actually, to talk about that's been going on in the NFL, specifically about the Raiders and the 49ers. Start off with the Raiders. On Tuesday, the Raiders made it official that they cut Michael Huff and DeHarris Hayward Bay to get some more money for the salary cap. And you're getting rid of two first round draft picks right there. And I thought, you know, people were worried. They were saying, "Oh, the freaking McKenzie's driving the team to the bottom." You know, how could you get rid of this guy, and this guy? If you think about it, even though Huff was playing a position that he hardly ever plays, and it's not really his position. He's more of a cornerback. He was even in his position the past ever since we dropped him. He's been You know, I was actually the biggest Huff supporter. I actually liked Michael Huff ever since we drafted him. And, ever since he got called up, he wasn't the person that he was with the Texas Longhorns. He was just, So, and it was the same way with Bay, you know. And then now with us cutting Bay, you know, Niner fans are saying that, oh, yeah, David Harris or Bay is so much greater than Michael Crabtree. But if you look at it, they both suck. They both are pretty shitty. No Niner fan can say that Michael Crabtree is probably the best key wide receiver that you guys have on that 49er roster. This guy hasn't even played yet. I'm saying Bolden is your key wide receiver. Crabtree is just another he catches the ball and whatever, but he hardly does that. He hardly ever catches the ball. I think if you could compare Crabtree and Huff, they're both the same. I think, honestly, the Niners would cut Crabtree at the right time, and that time is coming soon. And I think you cannot compare Crabtree and Huff. Crabtree and Bay. They're both the same. They basically play the same, but they're both pretty shitty. So, I mean, yeah, one went to the Super Bowl, but, you know, that doesn't really care who is the better. I mean, if we're going to go by who went to the Super Bowl, freaking Randy Moss is the best wide receiver ever to play the game. He's been to, three Super Bowls? One with the Patriots, one with the Niners, and... No, two with the Patriots, isn't it? No, one with the Patriots, one with the Niners, and... What is the team I'm missing? There's no way he went two Super Bowls with the Patriots. I believe... Let me check. I'm for sure he went from Vikings, Raiders, Patriots. Well, let me look this up. Randy Moss stats. So hopefully this helps. Sorry guys, I didn't even think I would mention Randy Moss. But since we're talking about greatest Super Bowl, talking about wide receivers that made it to the Super Bowl, Randy Moss is the first one that came up to my mind. So I mean, okay. So I need ESPN a little faster. Because he went one with the Niners, he went to three. He's been to three. Maybe he has been to two with the Patriots. I know he was with them the year that Was he there last year though with the Patriots? No, I don't think so. I am really befuddled right now. I am. God, you know what? Screw it. So just to say, Randy Moss has 3 Super Bowl appearances, right? And he didn't do nothing at all. And I guess if we're going by wide receivers who've been to the Super Bowl a lot and who've done this, then yeah, okay, Crabtree is the better wide receiver. But if we're talking about stats wise and skill wise, they're both the same. They both suck. And Bay did suck. If any Raider fan is to be honest with me and say that Bay didn't suck, you are smoking something. He did suck. Yeah, so yeah, they had 2 times at the Patriots and 1 time at the Niners. God, I'm freaking mental. Alright, so we got that underhand. See, what else do we have? Also, they use that money for the future. There's been talks that the Raiders are interested in signing Brandon Jennings, and also, too, they are also interested in looking at the first-round draft pick as using it as Geno Smith from the quarterback from West Virginia. And all this talk about quarterbacks, and also, too, since we're talking about quarterbacks, the Raiders, Vince Young has been asked to go work out for the Oakland Raiders. So, I mean, all this talk about quarterbacks, and does McKenzie really think that the problem is with the Oakland Raiders is quarterbacks? Carson Palmer was an okay quarterback. I'm not going to say he's the greatest, but he was an okay quarterback. But you're throwing it to guys like Jacoby Ford half the time. You're throwing it to Nerys Moore. You're throwing it to Harrod Bay. You're throwing it to all these people, and they keep dropping it. So do you really think that it's Palmer's fault, the quarterback's position's fault, or the wide receiver's fault? I mean, we don't have really that many key wide receivers. I think that the Raiders need is a defensive, someone on defense, a cornerback, maybe a safety, maybe a linebacker to replace McClain, maybe some defensive ends, and also, too, maybe some offensive linemen. Because, you know, offensive linemen, you know, if you want to get that pass thrown, you need offensive linemen. And we didn't have that last year. Did maybe a quarterback, but I don't think using your first round draft pick out on Geno Smith is really the smartest idea. I mean, you have Pryor on the bench, you also have Palmer, and then also too you're getting talks of Vince Young coming to Oakland. So if you give Vince Young to Oakland, are you using him as your third string or your second string? What do you do with that? Because if Palmer doesn't exceed to expectations this year, he's gone. But I don't think everyone they do this all the time. If a team sucks, that's the quarterback's fault. Yeah, it's the quarterback's fault. It's not the fact that the wide receiver dropped it or the offensive lineman let the defensive line go through him and sack the quarterback. No, quarterback's fault. He didn't get the pass in time. So I mean, you can't center the focus on the blame game on Palmer. He did what he could do at his age and at his skill set with the wide receivers he got. And when you don't have that many wide receivers, like key wide receivers, then you're not going to get that much from Palmer. And that's why you end up losing every game. And that's why you're really low. Oh, you're actually really high on the draft scale at number 3. So, I mean, no wide receivers, no offensive linemen. Your team's going to suck. That's why, and no defense either. No defense either. So Palmer might be leaving if you get Geno Smith, if you get Vince Young, you have Terrell Pryor. Yeah, there's no way Palmer could be staying after that. First, we're going to talk about the Niners now. Niners made some news too. Well, I guess not really some positive news, but, you know, they made some news. Both trades may have made official, sending Alex Smith to KC, and also getting Bolden from Baltimore. Okay, so everything is settled, everything is set, and also too, you know, you're looking at, there's also talks that Austin Wall and the 49ers, not even Austin Wall, if you don't know, he was a star cornerback for the Oakland Raiders back when he was good at his prime. Then he was a free agent. He took his money and his elsewhere to Philadelphia where he sucked. And the Eagles basically released him and didn't sign him. And now he went to San Francisco, spent a good time in Santa Clara, with the 49ers, and everyone thinks that there's mutual interest between the Niners and Anthony Osmond, and there's talks that he might go to San Francisco, and that would be a key fit for this just reason, because they lost Golden to the Bucks for a 5-year contract. He signed over to Tampa Bay, so now you need someone to replace Golden. I think Anthony Osmond with his skills can compare to Golden, and I think putting Anthony Osmond in Golden's position basically is a settled fit, and you have yourself a good signing. And I think if Anthony is like really, really, really happy and excited to be playing in San Francisco, and then why not sign him? I mean, at this point, everyone wants to be in San Francisco, and you know the way they played last year, and the way the future looks of Colin Kaepernick. So I mean, I would sign with San Francisco. So I think Anthony Osmond might be going to the San Francisco 49ers, signing in there. Who knows? All Raider fans want him, but I don't think Oakland would sign him after what he did to Oakland when he was a free agent. And I don't think, if you're a true Raider fan, I don't like him. The way his cockiness was, I mean, he was like, no, I was just taking my talents to Philadelphia, you know. Philadelphia was a good team. So, I mean, maybe that's what could happen to San Francisco. So, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like the Raider fans should not want Nodmi. I mean, yeah, the team's that bad, but I'm not desperate enough to have. It's like the A's wanting Eric Chavez back. I don't want Eric Chavez back. If you're not aware of what he did to the A's last year, when we played the Yankees at the last part of the season in September, he made a comment saying that the A's were making too many celebrations and got too excited when we score home runs. And basically saying that. And you know, everyone came to defense saying, well, that's just what we do. We're not, you can't compare it to what the A's do during celebrations during the Yankees do during celebrations. I mean, when the Yankees clinched the playoffs on the last game against the Baltimore Orioles, everyone was like, Good game. Good job, guys. We're going to the playoffs. Yay. And then when the A's made the playoffs, everyone went nuts. That was just when we clinched the spot to go to the wild card. We went nuts. When we tied the Texas Rangers on game two, everyone went nuts. And then when we won game 162 against the Texas Rangers in Oakland, it went to the playoff and won the AOS. Everyone went berserk. Everyone went nuts. People were jumping on the field. That's the difference between Oakland A's celebrations and the New York Yankees celebrations. So I mean, after what Eric Chavez's comments after that, you know, he's been. I'm not a fan of him anymore. I'm pretty sure he lost many fans. You know, some people are pretty loyal and say, you know, Eric Chavez did help us a lot during when the A's were good back in the day. And you know, I agree with that. But you know, his comments will overshadow that fact. And you know, I don't like him anymore. That's just me. So, let's talk about some Warriors now. Talk about some Warriors and talk about some Sharks since we're done with the NFL news. There's no more NFL. I have nothing left, really. It's Friday. And so I'm pretty sure something's going to happen over the weekend. I'm going to have to talk about it on Monday. Monday, Wednesday, the Warriors played this week at Oracle once again. They played against the New York Knicks on Monday and the Detroit Pistons on Wednesday. And I predicted that they would go 1-1 this week, saying that they would lose to the Knicks, but they would beat the Pistons. And they actually went 2-0. They proved me wrong. So maybe I should just say the Warriors will go, who did they play? They played Friday and Sunday. So they will go 0-2 this weekend. I should probably say that and they'll probably go 2-0 again. I should just say that the Warriors will not make the playoffs and the Sharks won't make the playoffs, and you know, they won't win the Warriors won't go to the NBA Finals and the Sharks won't go to the Stanley Cup. I should just start saying that. And then next to know it, they win and everything. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, I thought they would lose. So let's talk about the Warriors and the Knicks. That was a really stellar game. I didn't suspect the Warriors would play like this. 92-63. The defense was superior against Carmelo Anthony and the New York Knicks. And you cannot, and no one could say, oh, they beat the Knicks if they injured Carmelo. Well, if Carmelo was so injured during that game, why did he come back? You know, he missed a couple games. Why did he come back for that game? He was obviously fine. scoring only 14 points, I believe. Dominated through the whole game, outscored the Knicks in every quarter, which is something you hardly ever see from the Warriors. And that was a good thing to see. David Lee went 21 points and 10 rebounds, another double-double in his first game back since the one game he left. He didn't play on Saturday. So that was good to see. Given the Knicks their lowest scoring, lowest scoring of the season at 63, that's pretty good. That's pretty good defense. And, you know, that's the kind of defense you want to see. That's the Warriors we're used to seeing. That's the kind of defense we're used to seeing when everyone is just dominating each other and going bam, 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 blocking shots, taking steals, whatever, getting the rebound, getting on the board. Defense is top. Could they keep this up? That was the problem with when I was watching this game on Monday. Like, could they keep this up against Wednesday versus the Pistons and also, you know, a key game this weekend. Could they keep this up? And, you know, they sort of showed it against the Pistons. They beat the Pistons 105-97. And, Golden State dominated 3-1 quarters. So they outscored the Detroit by 3, which is all right. Curry had a good night, like usual. Well, not usual, because he didn't have that good of a night on Monday. But he had a good night Wednesday, though. 31 points. And Lee also came back again with another double-double. 20 points and 15 rebounds. On that date, they moved 3 games away from the 8th seed Lakers, which is something good. You want to pull back away from the Lakers, especially since you have to play the Lakers, I believe, 2 more times or 1 more time. I believe it's 2 more times, 1 in L.A., 1 in Golden State. And the way the Lakers are playing right now, I don't want to be in that tight situation. Let's keep moving forward. I don't care if we're in the 5th seed or the 6th seed and the Lakers in the 7th seed. I don't care if they could get the 6th seed and we could get the 7th seed. I just don't want to deal with the Lakers right now. The Lakers are that good of a team right now, and it's scary. The Warriors look great at the end of the game. Only missed one shot in the last final 7 minutes. That was pretty good. And Jack looked a little different. He did not look like the Jack we've been seeing at scoring 4 points. He actually scored 19 points against the Detroit Pistons. Now, could he keep this up this weekend? Can the team keep this up this weekend? Can the defense come up as big as they did Monday versus the Knicks? The Warriors play this Friday and this Sunday in Oracle once again against the Chicago Bulls. I might be there. And Sunday against the Houston Rockets. As the points stand right now, Jesus. I did not update it. Really? I did not update it. Wow. So now I'm going to have to go back on here. I'm going to look at my phone. NBA standings. Scores. Conference season standings. All right. I know 5th is Denver, 6th is Golden State, 7th is Houston, and 8th is LA. That's what I have. But I did it so far back, I didn't want to give you Wednesday's Wednesday showings when, you know, Thursday could be different, Friday could be different, so. Of course, my Wi-Fi's not working. God. Oh, my God. Okay. We're almost there. Okay. I have one more segment about the Sharks, and we're done, and then you guys could turn us off and say that was probably the worst podcast I've ever heard. I am so sorry. I am never prepared, especially when it's 10:50 in the morning. I am never prepared. I just go off the top of my head, and then especially like the Randy Moss thing. I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, was it 3 or was it 2? Was it 4? Maybe it was 3. Alright. Okay, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So yeah, Golden State is in 6, Houston 7, Lakers are 8. From what I'm seeing, Houston is 1.5 games back from 7th seed from Golden State. 6th seed Golden State, my bad. And the Lakers are now still 3 games back, so everything stayed the same. Good job, Cody. You could just put that down 2 days ago. And that said, the Warriors should be able to beat without Rose, and especially the fact that they lost to the Kings 121 to like 69 points, I believe. They lost to a big deficit against the Sacramento Kings. The Sacramento Kings, yes, we know. The Sacramento Kings, I just said that. So they should be able to beat the Bulls, and hopefully that's one of the games I'm actually excited for, because that's why I'm doing this show so early, and I'm actually putting up online on time, because usually I upload at 4 o'clock. I'm like, hey guys, I know there's like only 30 minutes left until the Sharks game, but hey, watch it and listen to the show just for the hell of it. But you know, this time I'm actually I actually got this out on time because later tonight I am going to the Chicago Bulls and Golden State Warriors game. I am pretty pumped about that. Hopefully Derek Rose made the trip to Golden State. Hopefully. You know, but that'd be a key game, cool game to watch. So make sure you guys are watching that. Warriors should beat the Bulls on that game. But then, Sunday they play the Houston Rockets in Oracle. And that's a key game. That's my key game, because the Warriors need to beat the Houston Rockets to keep proceeding forward into the standings. Especially with Houston being only 1.5 games back. You beat them on Sunday, you might go 2.5 games back and forward and keep going. That's what you want to do to these teams that are in the standings playoffs with you. You have to look up and say, okay, these guys are below us. We lose this. They're getting closer to us, and then we can be in the 7th seed. You don't want that. So win this game and just keep going forward. And, you know, defense needs to stay hot. And the bench needs to come up big this weekend against the Bulls and against the Rockets. And so does the defense. The defense needs to come up big, too, especially as the way they played against the New York Knicks. They need to come up big. All right. Last segment of the day. Everyone, get excited because you get to turn up this podcast if you haven't by now. It's like 4 or 5 more minutes. San Jose Sharks, they played 2 games this week at St. Louis and at HP Pavilion against the LA Kings last night. Does anyone really want to talk about the Blues game? They lost 4-2. I mean, that was a really bad night for San Jose, and everyone was really getting upset and pushing the panic button. And I said on Monday's show that if the Sharks lose both games this week, I give up. There's no way that the Sharks can be able to catch up in time, or this isn't really the right time for the Sharks to be making a playoff push, especially in March. Season is about to be over soon, but no, let's talk about the Sharks at the St. Louis Blues. Bad night for San Jose. Seems that the Rose kept on going. Burns finally got his first goal in the second period. And it was his first game as moving him to the fourth spot. See if he could do something better. See if he could help the team more scoring-wise in the forward position than he would do in defensive-wise. And it showed in the first game. Shots to goal went 41-21. Now, I want to talk about this. How do the Sharks not beat a team and they shoot 41 pucks at a freaking guy? How do you not do that? So, I mean, 41-21, obviously, Sharks should have won that game, but they didn't. How can you not score more than 2 goals with 41 shots on goal? How could you not? But then again, also too, you had Stewart that was unstoppable with 2 goals that game. That may have been the reason why. And here's a little fun fact before we hit to Wednesday's game. Thursday's game, actually. My bad. Sharks were 0-2-2 in the past 4 games and have only won 2 regulation wins in the past 20 games. That's pretty upsetting. That is not a fun fact that you want to hear. You want to hear, oh, Sharks are so-and-so away from the second seed of the standings. To be honest with you, the Sharks are not going to win the Pacific Division. It's impossible now at this point with how good the Ducks are right now. Not going to happen. And then we also, it's last night game. Last night's game was pretty interesting. It was pretty exciting. And it was probably the one time you sat back in your seat and you said, this is the Sharks I know. Maybe there's some hope. Sharks beat the Los Angeles Kings 4-3 in what should have been a blowout, but then it came out to be a close game. And I want to talk about one thing first. Some people already know that the LA Kings Twitter account has been somewhat, I don't know, let's be honest, they're total jackasses running it, to be honest, whoever's running it. And I already mentioned it, and I already know Shark fans are saying, or some Shark fans are saying, it's the LA Kings Twitter account. How could you not? Are you shocked that they're doing this? And I'm saying no, but the fact that they're still doing it is pretty fucking shocking, because it's like they're the biggest douchebags in the NHL. I am completely serious. It's as if the Stanley Cup championship really got to their heads. I mean, they posted a tweet that they went on an in-depth analysis or whatever the hell it was called, and about that the Sharks have not. This is before Thursday's game, like on Thursday. They said that the Sharks have not been to the Stanley Cup, have not been to the Stanley Cup, or even won a game in the Stanley Cup finals. And, you know, that's basically saying your team sucks. It's as if seeing the Oakland A's, when we played the Chicago Cubs this year, it's like someone doing an inside analysis saying, the Chicago Cubs have not won a World Series in the past 100 plus years. Let's go in-depth analysis on that. It's like, really? It's like, do you really need a fucking, a whole segment on why the, or on how the Sharks have not, that the Sharks have not been to the Stanley Cup or have won a Stanley Cup in the, ever. That's like so fucking stupid. You know, I tweeted at them and said, you're the biggest douchebag in the world, whatever. And, you know, hey, Los Angeles Kings, you guys lost to a team with no Stanley Cups, as it showed last night. Brett Burns looked a lot better at the forward position, got another goal, and helped out with local control on his second goal of the game, too. He's been looking a lot better in the forward position, and I think that the Sharks should keep him there. Hopefully it keeps on growing, but he looked really great on Thursday's game. Couture came in big with two goals, and after a 3-0 start from the San Jose Sharks, the Los Angeles Kings act quick, and get rid of and send Quick to the bench, literally. So they get rid of their starting goalie, and that's a good sign for the Sharks. That hasn't happened in a long time for the Sharks, if I can remember. Blah. But the Sharks basically made the Kings get rid of their starting goaltender. That's how much pressure the Sharks were putting on. And that's what you want to see. But the Kings and Brown started coming back. Brown had two goals, and they started want to make things interesting. But then, you know, thank God for Niemi was stellar at the end of the third quarter, the third period. God damn. But Niemi was still at the end of the third period, and it showed up big. The Sharks won 4-3, and now they are in the seventh seed in the standings. And now let's go into the Sharks preview now. Yay, everyone. Excited, yay. God damn it, I keep talking to myself. I need people to do this show. Sharks preview notes. Let's start with the 4th through the 8th seed, since 1, 2, and 3 is basically untouchable right now. St. Louis in the 4th seed with 32 points. 5th seed, 6th seed, and the 7th seed are all tied. L.A., Minnesota, and San Jose. And Phoenix is 8th seed with 29 points. And this is why I butcher why the Saturday the Kings will be playing against the San Jose Sharks at L.A. this time at Staples Center. And this is why I'm butchering that this is a very, very key game. You win on Saturday. You're basically moving up to the 5th seed, tied with the 4th seed, most likely, almost. And that's good. That's the Sharks you want to see. Keep winning games, and you'll be back in the standings to keep going forward. It's a little sad that the standings is such a clusterfuck right now. It is so tight. Everything is close together. And, you know, it's not really what we're used to. But it's really tight. It's like it's almost like NBA standings almost. And the Sharks need to start winning games if they want to be serious. If they want to be serious in the playoffs. If the Sharks win Saturday, everyone might be taking them serious a little bit, saying this is the Sharks that we can't push around. Like, we should be serious about this team. And it's like they still have good key players. Joe Thornton, Patrick Marleau, Brett Burns is coming back. And he's starting to look better in the forward position. Joe Pavelski, Logan Couture has been on a stellar run this season. So, I mean, it's a key game to prove to everyone that the Sharks belong in this playoff talk, and I think it's coming at the right time. So, my prediction is, I forgot to do my worst prediction, I might as well do it now. Prediction of the night. That'd be the ending segment of every show. I should be just start doing that, predictions. I predict the Sharks will go 1-0 in the weekend, so if they lose, it's probably my fault. But 1-0 against the Kings at LA. Very good rival team right now, especially since they won the Stanley Cup. So, and I'm saying the Warriors are gonna go 2-0 2-0 this weekend. I know they. I think they will beat the Bulls, and I think they will beat the Rockets. I'm gonna say that. I say 2-0. So everyone goes undefeated. It's a happy weekend for the Bay Area, and maybe some more signings and some more good news come from NFL wise. And 2 weeks left till spring training. Everyone go. 2 weeks left until opening night. That's spring training. So everyone go crazy. Baseball's almost back. Everyone go nuts. So, with that, we'll be closing the show today. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed. Make sure you guys, keep listening, keep supporting me. To be honest, I did not have a Red Bull, so I'm a little off right now. Make sure to spread the word out. Tell everyone to listen. Listen to my show. Help me get to where I am, where I want to be. Hopefully. And if you haven't subscribed on iTunes, I will be posting up a link later on today on Twitter and Facebook to subscribe to iTunes if I ever figure out how to do a link. So with that being said, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you guys have a good weekend. Make sure to watch and support your Sharks and Warriors.